to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Welcome to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. I'm your host, Tom Ernesty. With me is Dante Colonelli. Dante, how are you doing?
Doing great. I'm happy to be back. We're going to preview the defense tonight. Should be a good show.
Yeah, it's part three of our training camp preview. We're going to go through the defense. First and foremost, we got a couple minor topics to talk about. We might as well get this out of the way now. As it was talked about today by many of pundits on social media, that the Houston Texans are now willing to trade Deshaun Watson, as 10 more females actually came forward today to file with police a complaint against Watson. So no wonder why the Texans are now finally ponying up and saying, all right, yeah, we need to get rid of this guy. This is not going to go away anytime soon. We're not going to spend a hell of a lot of time on this, Dante, but what are your thoughts as Dolphins Twitter was ablaze once again with the topic of Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I think you have to separate this into non-football and football arguments. The non-football argument is, I mean, personally, I would not trade for Deshaun Watson, even if his legal situation is worked out again. But that's just me personally. The reality of the situation in the NFL is that winning is going to top all. It probably shouldn't be that way, but that's where we're at right now. If you don't do it, somebody else is. So again, personally, I would not make the move for Deshaun Watson, given, you know, if you haven't read some of the allegations against him, they're pretty horrific. I'd highly recommend doing that. From a football perspective, and I tweeted this today, I'm totally fine either way, Tom, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but, you know, just purely from football, if they want to ride with Tua, ride with Tua. They have a ton of good pieces. They upgraded the team. I think Tua showed enough last year to still have faith in him. And if they want to move some picks for Deshaun Watson, he's an immediate upgrade. He's a franchise quarterback. And again, separating how I feel about him personally, I mean, he's an incredibly good football player. And he was someone that, you know, before this, I actually really liked coming out of Clemson and all that. Okay. So from a football perspective, I think either way works. And I think, you know, the bigger picture here is, you know, Dolphins Twitter, and I'll wrap it up with this because I know we don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but, you know, Dolphins Twitter has split itself into factions of Watson versus Tua, when really the way that it should be viewed, again, from a pure football perspective, is that Miami's put themselves in a really good place where they're in a position to either build around a guy that they already have in-house, or they can make the move to get a big-time franchise quarterback in. And it really should just be an all-positive time on Dolphins Twitter. Unfortunately, that is just not the world that we live in.
No, and it never is. But, you know, my two cents on it is, you know, they're, you know, one is enough to kind of shake your head at the situation. But when you're upwards of 15 to 20, it's bad. And, you know, Watson will have his day in court, innocent until proven guilty. Everything has to play out. So I'm not pointing the finger at Deshaun Watson saying, you did it, you did it, you did it. What I am saying, though, he put himself in a position. There are more than enough women that have come forward. It is, if it is all true, and this is something that is going to come out, if it's true or not, is disgusting. And, you know, I agree with you. Talking about Deshaun Watson as a football player, phenomenal. Top five talent in the NFL, arguably. An electric quarterback would immediately put this team in Super Bowl contention. However, we can't overlook what is happening. We can't separate football from this right now, that he is going to be in some legal trouble, and there is a chance that he is put on the commissioner's exempt list. Here's a chance that he could miss some time this season. So I'm in the boat of let all the legal stuff play out. You have an entire season, a full season of Tua Tagovailoa with upgraded talent. Let's see what he does. And if you don't like where you are at the end of the season with Tua, now you can address the situation at quarterback. And if the Watson thing does, you know, normalize and he's served his suspension or whatever else, now you can relook at it again. But at this stage, it's two a time in Miami, and I don't think the Dolphins should really dip their toe in the water on something that could turn out to be disastrous, especially for a guy that could potentially be suspended by the league for long periods of time and or potentially go to jail. I mean, everything is on the table right now, but the one thing that isn't is making a move for Deshaun Watson, as it just doesn't make any sense right now from a team perspective and from a football perspective. They got to see what they have with Tua. It starts, we're recording this on the 26th. Training camp is underway on Tuesday morning. The Dolphins will be there. They're reporting, and they will get some work in. May not be on-field work for the first day, as traditionally Brian Flores typically likes to go through the rules and everything like that with the team before they hit the field. But we'll find out. And obviously follow the typical cast of characters that's going to cover training camp. So let's dive into the defense as we are talking about training camp. And we need to get started here up front, Dante. And the Dolphins traditionally are running a 3-4 style defense. We know that Brian Flores likes to mix and match his play calling on defense with Josh Boyer to suit the team that they are going against. But the Dolphins traditionally on depth chart, 3-4 is how they line up. Currently the starters listed, Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis making a huge leap in year two as a starter at the nose tackle position, and Emmanuel Ogba coming off a 9-sack season with the Dolphins last year. Those are your starters. For the depth chart, we have Jason Strobridge, who was oft injured last year, but he was a fifth-round pick. Adam Butler was a great pickup in the offseason from the New England Patriots. Zach Sealer was a force last year when asked to play bigger minutes, and the Dolphins rewarded him with an extension. Going down the list again, Nito Kuroz, whatever his name is, I can't pronounce it because it looks like he's got three first names, but he is a developmental guy that they have from Mexico, and they are still working to develop him, or Brazil, I can't remember where he is from. They picked up John Jenkins from Chicago, Jonathan Ledbetter. He was a pickup in unrestricted free agency, undrafted free agency, I'm sorry. Benito Jones, Tyshawn Render, and Jerome Johnson. That is the depth chart. Let's start, obviously, up front before we get into the depth battle. What is the expectations for the three guys up front right now?
Yeah, I mean, the expectations are high, obviously. I think there's an argument to be made that Ogba might have been the best player on the team for a couple of weeks there. He had a really, really good stretch of games where he was just, I mean, frankly, a dominant edge rusher. And then obviously Xavier Howard took that from him and ran with it the rest of the year. But Ogba was a huge part of why this team won so many games. I mean, you look at the Rams game, he made a lot of big plays in that game. The Cardinals game down the stretch, he made a bunch of big plays. So expectations are big there. He's also in a contract year, right? So the Dolphins have to think about whether or not they want to extend him. Getting to Christian Wilkins, I mean, he's a player who's just consistently and utterly improved across the course of his career. I think, you know, he's really improved in a lot of areas. He's become more stout. His hand placement's been better. You know, his disengagement rate's better. His run stop rate's better. All those things that you want to see from a defensive lineman. The big thing with Wilkins, right, is we want to see that kind of burst of pass rush ability, right? We want to see him be a little bit more productive. We want to see him be a little bit more violent up front. So that's the next stage of his development. We like to see him get there. And then for Raekwon Davis, I mean, he honestly, I almost want to say he was the best rookie on the team last year. I think at a lot of points, I think he was the most consistent. I think he improved a ton across the board. Obviously, I think Tua had higher peaks and was obviously more influential in what the Dolphins are doing because he plays quarterback. But, you know, I think he definitely outperformed Austin Jackson, Robert Hunt. Definitely Noah Igbinoghene as well. Davis was very, very stout. You know, he's that big, long two-gapper. You know, I'm going to stack blocks. I'm going to eat guys up. I'm going to make, you know, run stops. Going to make it hard for teams to really pound us in the middle of that defense. So I thought Davis improved vastly across the season. If he can take a jump, the thing with Davis, man, he's always been big, long, and physical. That's never been the problem. So it was good to see that in year one. But the big thing with Davis, and this is goes back to his Alabama tape, is like the man needs to get a pass rush. You know, he has it in flashes. He's athletic and he can bully guys. But, you know, we want to see like a consistent, you know, you know, hit a pass rush move, hit a chop, hit a swipe, you know, get something, a club rip, something that's just consistent that lets you get pressure on the quarterback. So that's the next stage of his development. Like we're talking about with Wilkins, those guys kind of in similar stratospheres. Obviously, Wilkins is a little bit more experienced, but the expectations are very high for these guys because in a lot of ways, the play of the defensive line is very much going to set the tone for the rest of this defense. You know, if those guys are playing well, if those guys are being disruptive, it's going to make everyone's job a lot easier. So they have a big responsibility in this defense, just like the secondary does, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, they're very much the core group on defense. You know, if Ogba's not getting pressure, you have to find it in other places, and that, you know, starts to get a little bit murky into some unproven guys. So big expectations for these three this year, but I'm excited because they all three of them are in good spots where they can take jumps from what they did last year because all three of them, you know, really showed up at times.
Absolutely. You know, Christian Wilkins going into his third season, you could say he had a ho-hum rookie year. Last year, you could see him making more plays. Did he have a bonehead decision in Buffalo? Yeah, sure. You know, that in his rookie season. But, you know, you see why Brian Flores likes him. He's a high motor. He's passionate about the game. And he is making more and more plays as his career progressed. Emmanuel Agba, off to a hot start last year, kind of fizzled out towards the end, but still a very productive season for Agba. And as you mentioned with Raekwon Davis, just a gap filler, huge man in the middle of that line. And, you know, he makes the guys behind him better. We're going to get in the linebackers here in a minute. But let's talk about a camp battle because this is a pretty solid group behind him. You know, Adam Butler being picked up to play some minutes behind Raekwon Davis. Got Zach Sealer, Jason Strobridge, who they are very high on in North Carolina, and the rest. What kind of camp battle are we expecting out of the defensive line group?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be more towards the bottom of that depth chart. So the John Jenkins, you know, Tyshawn Readers of the world. I think obviously Adam Butler's a cinch to make the roster, and I think he'll see a significant amount of snaps on the field. He's a versatile guy. I thought that was a big pickup, like you said at the top. Zach Sealer, I think, honestly, he's been better than Christian Wilkins at times. I think he's going to push to play a lot of reps. They re-signed him to a new contract. I mean, he's been very, very good for them. That's been a real steal of a pickup when they got him as a free agent right off the street, man. He's been fantastic. So I think those guys are obviously a cinch. Strobridge is a fifth-round pick. He's probably going to have to compete for a roster spot. I loved him coming out of UNC. Obviously, like you talked about last year, just kind of, you know, got washed out with injury, didn't really get much of a chance. I think if he can be healthy, I mean, he's the perfect Miami Dolphin, you know, defensive lineman. You know, he's a stack and two-gap guy, good length, good size. Now, obviously, you know, he's a little bit thinner, so I don't know how much of his frame that they've asked him to fill out or if they like him as kind of that gap shooter type player. Which is something that he can do, which is a little bit different than the typical lineman that they have. But I would assume that, you know, everyone outside of, you know, Sealer, Butler, and then the three that we mentioned as starters, that would be the camp battle to me. I don't know how many of a combination of those guys that they keep, but, you know, everyone outside of those fives is on the roster bubble, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they do have some good options there for the practice squad as well. You know, it's a young group, you know, between Jason Strobridge, Benito Jones, Tyshawn Render. It is a very, and Jonathan Ledbetter, it is a young group. So the Dolphins can put some of these guys on the practice squad. We know Brian Flores likes to mix and match up front and try to generate pressure. Like you said, these guys are very important to this defense because if they can generate pressure with the three or maybe four of them that have their hand in the ground, that makes life a lot easier for the secondary as well as those linebackers to make sure that they are making their plays. Speaking of linebackers, let's go to that group. So the four current starting linebackers on the depth chart as we see it, Andrew Van Ginkle, who is replacing Kyle Van Noy as the starter right now, Jerome Baker and Bernardrick McKinney, the trade from Houston. Those are your inside linebackers. And first-round draft pick Jalen Phillips is slotted in right now as the strong side linebacker. Depth chart-wise, they picked up Brennan Scarlett from Houston. They picked up Duke Riley from Philly. Congratulations to Duke Riley getting engaged to that Instagram model. Jules. Good for him. He did it at Rolling Loud at Hard Rock Stadium. Kelvin Munson, Sam Aguavon, Shaquem Griffin just picked up. in free agency. They got Vince Beagle back. Landon Roberts is still under contract, and they got Kylan Johnson. So overall, like we figure, you know, Van Ginkel is looking to take that leap. You know, he was, in my opinion, one of the more consistent guys around the ball last year. He was get after the quarterback, made some big plays in special teams as well, as that touchdown return on that Emmanuel Ogbah sack against the Rams. So I expect big things from AVG this year. And then, you know, Jerome Baker's coming off a very good season where he was the outside linebacker for the most part last year. But they, you know, Flores did move him around quite a bit between the inside and outside, depending on the scheme he was running, whether it was a 3-4 or 4-3. But picking up Menardrick McKinney, what were your thoughts on that move, trading Shaq Lawson to Houston for McKinney, and what McKinney can bring to the table if healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I didn't know a ton about McKinney when they made the move, so I had to kind of go through it and watch some Texans film, which was an adventure. But yeah, not a good time. But I did like what I saw from McKinney in the sense that, you know, I think last year it was very much, you know, he's going to be a Landon Roberts role, as in he's going to be the downhill thumper type player. But what's nice about McKinney is that, you know, if you guys listened to the pregame shows last year, you know that, you know, every time a Landon Roberts did anything, I was annoyed. So what's nice about McKinney is that he's a significantly better athlete than Roberts, and I don't think he's going to be as limited as Roberts was in that role. He's going to serve that purpose. He's going to be the downhill thumper. He's going to be the guy, you know, crashing into linemen, taking on blocks, trying to keep Jerome Baker uncovered so he can run around and use his athleticism. And I think he'll do a better job of that from a Landon Roberts. The other big thing that I saw in McKinney's film and how it relates to the Dolphins defense and why I like that move so much, is that he's a very good blitzer. And we know how much Brian Flores and Josh Boyer like to send guys from different levels of the field at different times. And, you know, they run the amoeba where everybody's standing up, who's coming, who isn't. McKinney's a very, very good blitzer. He had very, very good success with that in Houston. So I think that's going to be his role. I think he's going to be on the field a lot. I think he's going to be a high impact player. Look, is he a modern day coverage linebacker? Is he what you want there? No, not necessarily. Are there going to be plays where, you know what, teams get him on a running back or on a tight end and one-on-one coverage and he gets burned? Yeah, probably. It's going to happen eventually. But again, I think that he is more athletic. I think he has more range than a Landon Roberts. He's not as limited as Roberts was. And I think that's a huge upgrade in its own right. And then hopefully if he does his job well, and like you said, he stays healthy, that's another big thing for him. He has a bit of an injury history. So if he stays on the field, I think it's going to make Jerome Baker all the much better. So I really like that move. It was incredibly low cost. We really didn't give up anything, quite frankly. I don't think Shaq Lawson was a part of this team's future. So I really like that move. I think it's going to strengthen this linebacker group. You know, getting a Landon Roberts off the field as a starter is a huge plus for me. I thought he was one of the biggest reasons why the Dolphins gave up a lot of yards last year. So I'm all on board with this one.
Yeah. we can't stop before we go into potential camp battles. Before we talk about Jalen Phillips, the first round pick, it looks like he is ready to go for camp, and he looks, you know, he looks the part of what Brian Flores wants, and that's why they drafted him at 18. You know, watching his tape from his days with the Miami Hurricanes, you kind of want to forget the UCLA tape for the most part, because he was so oft injured. But last year with the Canes, very healthy. The guy just seems like he can just wreak havoc from wherever he lines up, whether it's hand on the ground or lining up at outside linebacker, which Brian Flores has him doing right now based on the depth chart. What are your thoughts on Jalen Phillips, and is he the pass rusher Brian Flores envisioned for his defense while, you know, sorting through Ogbah and Shaq Lawson last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Phillips, and, you know, I thought it was funny, a lot of people were surprised when he was, like, listed as a linebacker. I kind of always viewed him as going to be that, like, stand-up outside rush guy. You know, that's what he did really, really well at Miami. Obviously, yeah, he can rush with his hand in the dirt, but I really like what he brings to the table as an outside track guy. I've been trying to get the Dolphins to draft, like, a speedy, like, I'm going to win on the outside and bend and turn the corner and get to the quarterback-type player. We haven't had that guy in a really long time, man. I think Phillips is that guy. So I don't know how much actual traditional linebacking he's going to do. I think he's very much going to be a 4-3 defensive end. His primary job is going to be as a pass rusher. They're going to want him to get after the quarterback and kind of stress tackles out and do that type of stuff. So again, I don't know how much traditional linebacker stuff he does. I hope he doesn't do a ton because I think that's a waste of his talent, frankly. Now, yeah. Can he do that? Does he have the movement skills, the length to be effective in short zone coverages? I mean, sure, but like, why? You know, let him rush.
Use him for what he's going to be good at.
Right. And, you know, if you want to drop somebody, drop Van Ginkle. That's my opinion. But that's not the point. I think Phillips is going to have a big impact on this team. You know, again, I would mitigate my expectations of him just a little bit. He's a rookie. Yeah, obviously you have to worry about the injury concerns. And I do think his transition to the NFL might be a little bit rocky at first. You know, he was technically sound in last year's class compared to his other players drafted. I'm like losing the term draft class for some reason. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. But in general,
tape.
Yeah, and I'm already up to like 150 players this summer. I got to get a life. Anyway, Phillips was probably like average technique for a first round edge rusher. He just in last year's class was super weak, so he was much better than the rest of the group. So I would mitigate expectations for him, but I think he's going to be a primary pass rusher, and that's going to be his role. And they'll let, you know, the AVGs of the world, you know, drop into coverage a little bit and also let him get after the passer too. That's the great thing about the Dolphins defense and Brian Flores is that he's going to move guys around. He's going to put guys where they're successful. Phillips is going to rush the passer. He's going to drop. I'm assuming we'll see him with his hand in the dirt inside as well. And kind of that 3-4 defensive end as well. I think we'll see that a couple of times. That's the great part about this. And I think that's why that Phillips pick, I'm so excited about it because he's a versatile player. He's an athletic body that Brian Flores can kind of mold into whatever the heck he wants. And I think that's exciting.
Yes. Like you said, I would like to see Phillips do what he was doing in South Florida last year with the Canes. And that's just absolutely wreak havoc in the backfield, put stress on those tackles, let your linebackers clean up the work. But on those passing downs, you know, pin your ears back and get after the quarterback. That's the most important thing for Phillips. But they want him to be a three down guy. So, you know, not just that pass rushing specialist, because if you're only going to use him in those certain situations, that's a wasted pick. So I'd like to see a lot of Jalen Phillips here in the summer. I'd like to see what he can bring to the table, whether he has got his hand on the ground in a 4-3, which we saw a lot of last year, or let's see what he can bring to the table regarding as a stand-up linebacker and rush after the quarterback. Let's talk about the guys behind them. You figure when you look at the depth chart, the Dolphins run four linebackers out traditionally. They got to keep at least another three or four guys behind them, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, you'd always like to have that depth. And also, those guys are typically core special teamers as well. Your backup linebackers are typically on special teams. So, yeah, I mean, they'll probably keep at least three or four guys back there. And that'll be the interesting camp battle. Scarlett's interesting. Obviously, Roberts has a lot of experience with the staff and the scheme. So I would imagine if he's healthy, I think he sticks around, much to my chagrin. And then I think Vince Beagle's really interesting too, because he flashed 2 years ago, and he's kind of, I mean, really the only backup to the Andrew Van Ginkle role, really. If Van Ginkle goes down, I mean, who are you going to put out there? So that's kind of interesting. So it's going to be like low key a sneaky good battle in camp, is kind of who figures out to be those backup linebackers. We'll see how it shakes out. I find it hard to believe that they'll cut Roberts. And I like what I've seen from Scarlett, at least as a backup. So, you know, Beagle, a couple of those other guys, I think they're going to be on the bubble. But I'd try and keep Vince Beagle around. I think he showed enough flashes 2 years ago.
Definitely good special teams guys for sure behind those starters. But obviously, they got to play some big boy minutes in the event guys need a break or one of these guys potentially get hurt. They got to have the depth there. You know, Sam Aguavon, I wouldn't say he was very good last year, but
he's a good story.
He was not very good when he was put in that position because he was the starter. He was a starter at one point last season, and in his first year as a rookie, they started him. you know, in 2019, obviously for many reasons that we don't want to talk about going back to 2019, you know, but the other name that we, you know, to keep your eye on as a special teams ace is Shaquem Griffin. I think he is, you know, high motor guy. He's going to provide that, you know, that juice. You know, he's a, he's got a great story. I think the Dolphins really hope he can bring his A game to the table. I mean, he's only played about 247 snaps in his career on defense, so he's not going to bring you a lot there, but he's lightning fast. That kid can flat out run. So he definitely has a shot to make this roster as a special teams guy, but he's got to get by Duke Riley, you know, Brennan Scarlett, like you said, Vince Beagle, and Landon Roberts. All these guys can play special teams and spot minutes if they absolutely have to. All right, let's go into the hot topic of the night, the cornerback position for the Miami Dolphins. As it sits right now, we're going to start corners. We're going to do safety separate. So we got Byron Jones picked up as an unrestricted free agent, obviously, last year. He had his moments last year, but he also did not have good moments last year. I expect better things being second year in this defense. I think Byron Jones really came on strong towards the end of last season, where he actually did intercept some passes and did make some big plays in the secondary. And opposite him, Xavien Howard. We know the story with Xavien Howard, what's going on with him. Obviously, having those two together on the field at once, the Dolphins' pass defense was very good last year in a lot of good situations. Obviously, not playing the Buffalo Bills, they did not do well, but Byron Jones, Xavien Howard is a very good 1-2 punch. They picked up Jason McCourty from New England as an unrestricted free agent. Noah Igbinoghene, there's a lot of hype on him this summer, this spring. It looks like he's putting in a lot of work. He could be thrust as a starter as we go into week one, depending on how this Xavien Howard situation plays out. Nick Needham, Tino Ellis, Jamal Perry, Trill Williams, the safety, Terrell Bonds, Jaitlin Askew. And for the nickel corners, they picked up Justin Coleman. They have Javaris Davis, who I'm actually really high on. I liked him coming out of college a couple years ago. They picked him off waivers from Kansas City. And then Cravon LeBlanc, they picked up from Philadelphia just recently. So that is a lot of depth. I like the depth. I like the names that are there. I think the McCourty pickup is very underrated. Not many people are still talking about that move. I think he knows because he knows the defense, because he's been a solid NFL player his entire career, that is a big move, especially, you know, having him slot in behind Byron Jones. And Jason McCourty is going to see the field without question. Needham, he had ups and downs. I think, you know, again, undrafted player like Nick Needham, who's played fairly well at times, but he was picked apart last year in the slot. I think he needs to move back to the outside. He's going to be fighting for a job for sure. Jamal Perry, who's been here for a few years, Tino Ellis, I don't know much about Terrell Bonds and Jaitlin Askew, same thing. Those guys have a big uphill battle, but let's talk Xavien Howard. How does this play out, Dante? Is Xavien Howard, rumors are he's showing up to camp. And when he shows up to camp, what's he going to do? Is he going to play? Is he going to suit up? Obviously, he doesn't want to lose $50,000 a day for not showing up, because those fines got real steep with the new CBA. So how do you see this playing out? And is Xavien Howard, in your opinion, going to be a Dolphin starter in week one?
I do think he'll play this season. And I think that it's tough. I understand where Howard's coming from. I know why he wants a new deal. And honestly, I think he deserves it. But I do think that he'll be back for camp. I do think that he'll play week one. And I would imagine that unless the Dolphins are like really bad by the trade deadline, I imagine that he'll play out the season. Now, beyond that, will he be on the roster? I don't know. I think that that's kind of very much up in the air. I'd say that's about 50-50. And, you know, I think kind of getting out of that conversation more into the what should Miami do, I'm a staunch advocate of paying Xavien Howard whatever the hell he wants. And I know that that's going to be a position that not a lot of Dolphins fans agree with. I think that, first of all, you have to understand that he's the best player on the football team when he's healthy. And frankly, I don't really think it's remotely close. He is one of the most impactful cornerbacks in the NFL. You can argue about whether or not he's 1, 2, 3. To me, I don't really care. If you're elite, you're elite. I don't care where you rank in the elite tier, you're elite. He's elite. He's an all-pro player. He creates turnovers. He's the most impactful type of all-pro player. Not only that, but when you look at this Dolphins scheme, I don't think people grasp the concept of how important it is for the Dolphins to be able to one-on-one cover across the board for four quarters. They worked in a little bit of zone at the end of the year because they were getting burned in the beginning and they tried to go into that, blah, blah, blah. But when the Dolphins defense is at its best, it is man-to-man coverage across the board. That's why they paid Byron Jones a buttload of money in the offseason. That's why they gave Xavien Howard the contract they gave him in the first place, because they wanted that dynamic duo of man-to-man coverage corners. If you remove one of those players from the equation, this defense has a lot of cracks in it. I'm sorry, but it does. I'm going to be honest, I did not like the Noah Igbinoghene pick in the first round, and he did not show me anything last year that makes me have faith in that he's ready to step into a starting role this season. Maybe he develops. I always thought he was going to be a year three guy. He needed 2 years to, you know, maybe play a couple of snaps here or there, but 2 years to really learn how to play corner. Don't think he's ready right now. I agree with you. I think McCourty can be solid. He is not the long-term answer, and I don't really know how many reps I want him playing. Corners really fall off a cliff when they get old, and he's old. Justin Coleman's a slot. I do not have any faith in Nick Needham either. I think that his rookie season was cool, but it wasn't as good as everyone hyped it up to be, and then he got exposed last year. So Howard is immensely, immensely important to this football team. I don't think Dolphins fans understand that if you remove Xavien Howard from this team, this secondary goes from being one of the best in the NFL to average. It really, it's an average secondary, in my opinion, especially a corner. I think there's a lot of question marks. And Byron Jones is fantastic. And you know what? Maybe they can get by with an average secondary. Maybe they can. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. But for me, watching the film, man, you take Howard out. I just think he does so much for you. You know, turnovers. He's good in coverage. I mean, when he's healthy, he's one of the best defensive playmakers in the NFL. He really is. I mean, he's just a consistent turnover machine. So I would pay him because I'm in a winning window. We went 10-6 last year. It's time to win football games. This is the word. The rebuild's done. You're not rebuilding anymore. You pay your homegrown talent. Howard's a homegrown talent. I know it sets a weird precedent. I get it, but that's the way the NFL's going anyway. You know, the Dolphins not paying Xavien Howard is not going to make other people's holdouts less effective all of a sudden. You know, we just saw Aaron Rodgers bully the Packers into giving him whatever the heck he wants today, right? You know, I mean, it's not just... I would pay him. That's where I'm at with this. I think he's way, way too important. And this is way, way too crucial of a point in the Dolphins timeline to get stingy about paying players. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not a cap guy. I'm a scout. I don't know if that's front loading all of his money into guarantees the next 2 years. If he wants more years, if he wants less years, I don't know what that looks like. You'll have to take that up with somebody else. But for me, I would pay him. He's too important.
Yeah, I agree. I've been in camp Howard since this whole drama started. I think he, like you said, his worth to this defense is in gold. You know, without Xavien Howard on the field, they look terrible. Without Byron Jones on the field, they look terrible. Those two together, it was tremendous. They played great together. I don't know how that dynamic with their relationship. I know there's some couple jabs from Byron Jones for him not being there, so on and so forth. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that have to get worked out here in camp. Xavien Howard, he does deserve to get paid, but at the end of the day, he signed a contract, and he's only a year into that new deal, and he's already looking for more money. So I think the Dolphins doing the right thing. Don't set that precedent. Let him show up to camp. Let him play out this season. And then you see where you are. You see where you are with him. And then if he had another season the way he did, pay him. Cap's going up. You got the money. Pay him. But we'll see how it goes. You know, I like the depth behind it. I know you're not high on, you know, old man McCourty. I like McCourty. Noah Igbinoghene spot play last year when Byron Jones went down. He played that Jacksonville game, was obviously his best game of the season. He was absolutely dynamite in the secondary in that game last year. But in other games, obviously, you got to play against Stephon Diggs. You got to play against some high-quality wide receivers in this division, and you're going up against them every single day in practice. So you're going to have to keep your eye on Noah Igbinoghene and see how he does, because they're going to put him out on an island against a guy like Jalen Waddle. They're going to put him on an island against Will Fuller, Preston Williams, so on and so forth. He has to perform. And if, you know, iron sharpens iron, you know, if he performs well in camp and he's able to shut these guys down, that's tremendous. If he has a great preseason, that's even better. But he is going to be asked to probably play more minutes this year than he did last year. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify real quick before we move on. I'm totally fine with Igbinoghene and McCourty as depth. As depth, sign me the hell up. That's great. If I don't have Howard and they're starting, like, you know, every game, I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah, and that could be the case. You know, again, we only saw bits and pieces of Noah Igbinoghene last year. We'll see what he brings to the table. I'm sure Brian Flores is going to give him a long, long look in the preseason. Give him probably more snaps than really everybody else in the secondary. You're not going to see much of Jason McCourty in the preseason. Why? You know, the guy's done it long enough. He knows what he's doing. It's really not needed for him. But guys like Noah, Nick Needham, Jamal Perry, all the other guys there in the secondary, they've got to get the job done. And they have to prove themselves here in the preseason games, obviously, as well as in camp. Let's move on to safety. Safety had a little bit of a shakeup. Dolphins let Bobby McCain go after the draft, and they drafted free safety Javon Holland in the second round. They also have kept Eric Rowe, who obviously has a chip on his shoulder. He's already targeting the game against the Raiders in Week 3 to get hopefully some revenge on Darren Waller, putting him on a poster last year. Clayton Fegelum, God damn, I still can't get that name correct. It's a long off season, folks. I'll get it in no time. Brandon Jones, I like Brandon Jones last year, special teamer. He did some really good work in spot play as well. They also have Nate Holley and Trill Williams lined up at safety. Obviously, we can't move on from safety until we talk about Javon Holland. What's he going to bring to this defense? Obviously, you move on from a veteran like Bobby McCain, who had his moments as a safety when he was converted from nickel corner. Excuse me. What is Holland going to bring to the table? What do you like about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you follow me on Twitter, you know I was not a particularly big fan of that selection, but it is less to do with Holland the player and more that the role that I think the Dolphins are going to jam him into. So I actually like a lot about Holland's game. I think that he's a very intelligent player, which is something that obviously appealed to Brian Flores. He's very smart. You rarely see him out of position. That's never his problem. His problem is not with the mentals of the game. He's a very smart player, takes good angles and run support, takes good angles and coverage. He's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. So you love all of that about a safety, right? Like, that's kind of the baseline for playing safety. You know, are you where you're supposed to be? Because if you're not, it's probably a touchdown. So Holland's got that part covered. And I love that about his game. He's a very physical player. He's a very experienced player. I love all that about his game as well. He's willing to tackle. He'll step up and run support. He can get physical with receivers down the field. You like that. And he's an opportune playmaker. He will go after the ball. He'll make an attempt to get an interception or two. And that's what you want to see from modern day DBs. You really kind of, you're willing to live with a missed, you know, explosive every once in a while if that person can consistently turn the ball over. And I think Holland will attempt to make those types of plays. So I like all that about Holland's game. My concern is that if you watch Holland's film at Oregon, he doesn't play safety. He's a slot corner, like almost exclusively. And I think that transitioning him specifically to Bobby McCain's role full time worries me, because that free safety role is incredibly important in this defense, given how much man-to-man cover one that they like to run. And right when you're the cover one free safety, you're responsible for being the last man of defense on every play. And we saw last year early in the season when Bobby wasn't playing well, the defense was getting gashed because whoever Xavien Howard wasn't covering, they just threw the ball over there. And, you know, McCain wasn't in the right spot or McCain was slow to react and it was a big play. So I worry about that with Holland because it's just not on his film. I know he ran a fast 40 time, but you flip on the tape, his range is limited. This is not a player who played in deep zones a ton. So I don't know that he can't do it, right? So maybe it's just a case of Oregon used him in a different way and Brian Flores sat down with the kid and they had a conversation and Flores was like, all right, I'm confident this kid can do this. Maybe that's the case. But just from the information that I have watching the Oregon film, I mean, this is a slot cornerback that the Dolphins are going to ask to play free safety as a rookie. And again, I think he's a very intelligent player. I think that he's smart. And obviously, Brian Flores knows significantly more about safeties than I do. But I'm very, very concerned that they are trying to jam a square peg into a round hole with Holland. And I think that he could be incredibly valuable to this team as a slot corner. I think he could be the best slot corner on the team right now. And they could have gone another direction, whether that was keeping Bobby or signing Malik Hooker, who they brought in for a visit. So that's my concern with Holland. It's not about the player. It's about the role. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, Brian Flores is privy to a lot more information than I am. But there's a lot to like about Holland. You know, I don't want to come off like I totally dislike the player. I totally dislike the pick. There's a lot that he's got going for him that I think will help the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how he does. You know, like you said, a rookie moving into that center fielder role on defense, it can be tough. I mean, Bobby McCain had a lot of experience. He never played safety, and he struggled out of the gate. He just did not know. His instincts always took him to where he was supposed to be as like a slot corner versus where he needs to be as the center fielder on the defense. I think Holland, you know, worst case scenario on Holland, if he's not ready, I think Brandon Jones might be able to step into that role. We'll see. We'll see. Not really much of a camp battle here. They're going to keep four. I'm pretty sure they're going to keep four safeties on this roster in the top four. Most likely to be it. Nate Holley and Trill Williams have an uphill battle to make the team. We'll see how that battle plays out. And those guys are definitely going to get some playing time in this defense as well. So that will wrap up the defense preview for training camp. If you're listening to this, which most of you probably are, on Tuesday morning or afternoon, it is training camp. Football season is finally upon us. I'm very excited. Dante and I, this will not be our last show of the season. As you guys know, we are doing the pregame shows. We'll kind of dictate what pregame shows we'll be doing here as the preseason progresses because, you know, the first preseason game, who the hell knows, right? Who knows? But once we get a little bit further into the preseason with the last couple games, we will be back and we will be talking about this roster as we get ready for the regular season opening game against the dreaded New England Patriots in Foxborough. But we'll be back on Countdown to Kickoff here in August. As we are gearing up for football season, Dante, I'm excited to get this season underway. I am tired of all the off-season crap, all the stupid conversations that we're having on social media. I just want to get back to some football, and I want to see how the Dolphins can improve on 10 wins from last season.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm really excited to have some actual football to talk about. Training camp is always like a double-edged sword. It's always nice that it comes back, but then, you know, you get people flipping out over like one video. You know, so that'll be fun, but you know what? We're getting there. We're getting closer. I'm excited. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. Thank you all for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk Tom. You can follow Dante at Dante Colonelli. Be sure to go to dolphinstalk.com every single day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information. Thank you all for listening to our training camp preview series, and we are out. Fins up.
Thank you.
Let's go.
For listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.